Restaurant Unstoppable, episode 18.
Welcome to RestaurantUnstoppable.com. Listen to successful restaurant professionals as they discuss the tools, tactics, and services they use to better lead, manage, and market their restaurants. Join our community and make your restaurant dreams unstoppable. Here's your host, Eric Cacciatore.
Yo, what's going on, all you unstoppable restaurant professionals? It's your host, Eric Cacciatore. We have a terrific show for you today. But before we get started, I wanted to bounce an idea off you that I had for the new podcast interview flow. The idea is to kind of differentiate between service and hospitality. And this concept kind of came to me while reading Danny Meyer's Setting the Table. He really stresses enlightened hospitality and really spells out the difference between service and hospitality, and how you don't only need to have good service, but you need to go that step further and have hospitality and to surround yourself with a bunch of 51 percenters. And if you don't know what a 51 percenter is, you should probably go read that book, because you're missing out. So I want to find a way to capture some of these stories of my guest displaying enlightened hospitality, or maybe telling a story of when one of their team members, one of their 51 percenters, displayed enlightened hospitalities at their restaurants. And I feel like these stories will bring a lot of entertainment to the show, and at the same time, we'll be enlightened and learn from these stories. So go to facebook.com/restaurantunstoppable and give me some of your ideas on how I can word this question. That's all I have today. Enjoy the show. For today's guest, the first signs of his passion for the restaurant industry started to bud while standing by his grandfather's side in the home kitchen. It was this passion for cooking which led him to study at the New England Culinary Institute. After completing his studies, he found himself working beside Mark Geyer and Clark Frazier at the well-respected Arrows restaurant. While at Arrows, he climbed the ladder from cook to chef de cuisine. During his 15 years at Arrows, he was also honored with the privilege of cooking for the James Beard House. Today, he is executive chef of Earth. Earth is a restaurant with a focus on sustainability and is located in Kennebunkport, Maine. Most recently, today's guest was recognized by StarChefs.com as one of New England's rising guest stars. With excitement, please allow me to introduce to you today's guest, Chef Justin Walker. How you doing, Chef?
Doing great. How are you?
Great, thanks. So, are you ready to drop some invaluable advice that will make some restaurant dreams unstoppable?
Yeah, let's see what we can do.
I'm sure you're going to be awesome. You have such a great track record. Was there anything I missed in the intro that you'd like to add?
No, I mean, I spent obviously a long time at Arrows. But when I started there, they hadn't won a Beard Award or any of that stuff. So I was involved in working through all those things, all the cookbooks, all the other restaurants, heavily involved in opening all their other restaurants and planning and helping with production of their cookbooks, all of the stuff, all of the events, all of the, pitching editors, pitching book agents and all that stuff, and restaurateurs and experience. For sure.
Awesome. Yeah, and you really, truly were lucky to have the mentorship of Mark Geyer and Clark Frazier at Arrows, because those are two really well-respected guys. I believe they just recently celebrated 25 years not too long ago. Is that correct?
Last year, obviously, was my first year not there.
Yeah.
Celebrated their 25th anniversary at Arrows. Unfortunately, closed the restaurant about a month later.
Yeah, I mean, 25 years, though. I mean, that's I would say that's pretty successful streak. So there's nothing wrong with closing the doors after 25 years of running an amazingly successful restaurant. So, yeah, I'm sure you're going to have a lot of advice to share with us that came just from working at such a great place like Arrows. But you have your own great things going on right now at Earth Restaurant, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But I like to start every interview off with a leadership or success quote. The purpose of this is to kind of get the motivational ball going. It could be also be a mantra, too, if you don't have a quote right offhand. But what do you have for us today?
Well, I mean, for aspiring cooks and chefs and people starting in this industry, you know, I think it's important to remember that it's a trade. And I think first and foremost, it's trade and then art. So I would say, you know, keep that in mind, work hard, you know, never stop learning, always put yourself in great places. So yeah, I guess that was one quote I would say, you know, always stay in great places.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And the next question I have for you is, what is your it factors? Smells, tastes, views, and sounds. What are the general experiences, vibes, and ambiance that you and your restaurant serve?
Well, that's interesting. Flavor's everything. The taste is everything. First and foremost, it's taste. You know, I've been very lucky over the years to work in beautiful restaurants, and it's certainly a beautiful place. So, you know, it's a very simple, clean slate there. So I guess it'd be in Earth, I would say, you know, you come in, it's the smell and then the taste.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I like it. And there was also this that was written about you. Walker is devoted to Maine, becoming a major force in the region with opening of a culinary center at Hidden Pond this fall that will welcome guest chefs to teach and host pop-up restaurants. So I just like that it's not just your food, but you're also, it seems like you're really just a part of the community too, which I'm sure contributes to your amazing success thus far. So the next question I have for you is challenges. Share with us one current challenge and how are you overcoming that challenge?
Challenge is translating, you know, the ideas of in my style of food, translating that to the people that actually, the cooks that actually cook the food. You know, obviously it's a big restaurant. I'm not able to cook every dish, contrary to most people's belief. So you're only as good as the people around you and I'm constantly learning how to work with people to get my thoughts and ideas translated, and we have a great group of people, and it's fun to see it pass down the line. You know, new people, sous chefs really work really hard with me, and then it kind of passes down the line. I feel like we've made a huge success when I try food that somebody who only has a very small amount of experience in the business that has made with, you know, with my direction passed down the line, and when I don't find things wrong with it, I'm extremely happy.
Awesome. And so you say that the challenge is kind of communicating in describing how to pass what you want to be created onto your chefs. And how do you overcome that challenge? What advice do you have for our listeners who are experiencing that same challenge that you're experiencing? How would you overcome that?
That's a great question. I've cooked it all. You know, I was a cook. I was on the line day in, day out for all of my 20s and part of my 30s and some of my teens. And I made all the mistakes. I speak from experience, and I use that invaluable experience to educate the people and under me, and also see the problems arise before they actually happen because I've made the mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, for young people and cooks, like, that's what it's all about. You know, you can't learn unless you do. And, you know, we get whole pigs in, we get whole swordfish, whole tunas, whole animals, whatever. I don't even bother breaking them down anymore. I just hand it to a guy, say, you start breaking them down, and then you come get me when you get stuck. And if he hacks the crap out of it, at least he's going to learn. He'll never forget it.
Absolutely. So you're saying that the best way to overcome this challenge is just by taking your cooks and just throwing them into it. And you just got to get them started. And the only way you're going to grow is by just starting. You have to start somewhere. And I like that. Kind of reminds me of this quote, like, when's the best time to, you know, plant a tree? Well, 20 years ago, but the next best time is right now. So you have to get started right now. And once you get started and once you throw them into it, they'll learn and grow with you. So that's great advice. So the next question I have for you, and we like to talk a lot about leadership here because, I mean, you can have, yes, it is, it's a trade and it's a craftsmanship, but you have to know how to lead. So how important is leadership, and what advice do you have for us as far as leadership goes?
It's extremely important. You know, when you have a restaurant like Earth with, you know, 14 cooks, busy restaurant with events and things happening all over the place all the time with a resort or hotel involved. You have to let go responsibility. You have to be willing to let people have their chance to make mistakes and learn from them. And you know, I work with as long as I don't see laziness and lack of effort. You know, I'm happy with virtually anything, and then from there we make changes to make things better. But we're always making things better. We're always working on dishes that we maybe had on the menu for a season last year that we're going to bring back this year. We'll still be working on making them better. Mm-hmm. And you know, lead by example. You know, in the kitchen all the time, working as hard as everybody else. You know, fulfilling my role.
And that's a really common trait of a leader, is somebody who's never quite satisfied with all right. You're always trying to be better. You're always looking for that next step of perfection. And I'm sure that quality that you have, which you just explained, has a lot to do with the success you've had thus far in your career. And you still have so much career left, so it's really exciting to see where you're going to go. So let's talk about what your definition of success is in the restaurant industry. How would you define success in the restaurant industry?
Well, I mean, contrary to popular belief, you know, I'm going to be 37 years old this year. So, you know, when I started cooking, it wasn't all that as an accepted profession. I was actually a little nervous to tell my parents, you know, way back when, that I wanted to cook for a living. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's not at all like that. So I think, in a way, I think success is when you've mastered your craft, but also you're not so arrogant that you don't stop learning. Absolutely. And always to push yourself, you know, whether it may be, you know, going out foraging or just understanding your products a little bit better, there's always a chance to learn and improve and make yourself better.
Awesome. And I mean, I've been plugging, it was Chef Evan Hennessy. He has this quote that for some reason just resonates with me so well, but he had said, you know, you have to consider a true leader considers himself a student first. And it was a roundabout way, but that's what he said. And I just heard you say something very similar to that, but yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's funny, like we grew up in a world today where people don't see, chefs and cooks or anybody really in the hospitality world as being, you know, quote unquote, real professionals. And it's really sad because it takes a special person to be good at this industry and to have that true raw talent and passion. You know, you really need that passion to be able to show up every day and just, you know, leave it all in the kitchen or on the dining floor in the front of the house. And it's a truly special person. So if you're somebody that, you know, had the similar experience where you had to, you know, let somebody down by telling them that this is what you want to do, don't think of it that way, because you're truly you're a special breed. Wouldn't you agree to that, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, you know, interesting what you say. He will remain nameless, but a long time ago I was told by a teacher in probably 11th grade that I would never become a chef, which I don't quite understand why he said that, but clearly he was wrong. And you know, it's a long haul. I mean, I've been working for, you know, full time on my own, living by myself, a good 17 years or 18 years in this business. And you know, I just received a up and coming rising star award.
Yeah.
And that's a long haul.
You work so hard in this industry. So when you do get those little moments, you work so hard. It's such a fast-paced environment in a world that we live in. You have to stop for just a second and reflect and appreciate your accomplishments. So congratulations one more time on that recognition. I'm sure you, you're loving every second of it, and you've earned it. At this point, we jump straight into what we like to call on the fly round. This is a speed round where you just spit out answers to my questions within 2 to 3 sentences. But if you have more to share, don't hold back. I don't want to rush you. Okay. You ready to go?
Go for it.
All right. The first question I have for you is, can you share with us one hiring tip or tool you use at your restaurant?
I have to watch them cook. Yep. Interview process for me is about a minute and a half. The rest, get in the kitchen. Let's see you cook.
Awesome. And what about front of house? You get involved in any of that?
Yes, very much. My wife is the general manager of the restaurant, so it's extremely important to both of us. And I've learned in past experiences that a weak front of the house makes a pretty depressing kitchen.
Mm, absolutely.
It's nice to know where the food's going. So
absolutely.
Same goes in the front. My wife and I have the same philosophy. You know, a little bit of talking, lots of actual doing.
Yep, you really have to have the big picture. You could be an incredible chef and have incredible cooks in your kitchen, but if the front of house isn't holding up their half of the deal, you're just not going to make it. And it's really the big picture. It's so much fun to work in an industry like this where that team environment really is so important. So great advice. The next question I have for you is, once you find these quality employees, what kind of creative incentives do you provide to keep them as valuable team members?
Well, I'm pushed by the people that are under me. So, you know, I'm constantly evolving and changing and trying to make things exciting for the cooks. And I move them through the kitchen as quickly as I can. And then once they're moved through the kitchen, they move on.
Mm-hmm. And when you mean move on, do you mean to the next job?
Yeah, you know, there's unfortunately always can be a glass ceiling, and if somebody's made it as far as they can through my kitchen and learned as much as I think they can from me, then it's time to pass on. I have two guys right now working with Ken at Toro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's wonderful that they.
Yep, and you know, it's really important that you recognize that so many people in this industry. It's not just a job, it's a resume builder, and if they get an opportunity to work under someone like yourself, Justin, who is just has so much knowledge to pass on, if you're able to mentor them and help them, and even after, when they say, hey, you know, Justin, I've had a great time working for you, I'm ready to go to the next step, I've been throwing my resume out, a lot of successful chefs, I've noticed that they also, they'll help those guys get the next job. I mean, you're connected, you know a lot of great people, and that positivity, it comes back to serve you, because those guys, they won't forget that help when you help them get the next job. And if they have a friend who's going through the system, they'll refer great workers to you. So that's something to keep in mind too.
It's very convenient as a chef to keep your employees for a long period of time, but if it doesn't benefit the employee, then you know you're doing yourself a disservice and them a disservice. So yeah, sometimes you have to take the plunge and hire new people. Keep moving forward.
Yes, this is really powerful advice, so thank you for sharing that with us, too. All right, the next question I have for you, Justin, is marketing tactics and tools. What has been working for you? Can you share any particular practices that have shown the best results?
Yeah, I think, you know, make food people want to eat. You know, the fact of creating themes for yourself, or I'm going to be Asian, or I'm going to be this, or I'm going to be that, I think it's important to cook the food that comes from your soul, and the food that you like to eat, food that you want to see in a restaurant when you eat. And then you don't have to change. You do your food. You do Earth Food or Justin's Food in this instance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of our style. We don't have to do all kinds of other things to get people in the door. People want to come there for that experience.
Yeah, and it just kind of reminds me of another quote that I believe it was Matthew Lewis from Moxie said, you just got to be yourself and be authentic. And whatever it is that you do, just stick to it and be real. Because you can try to be anybody in the world, but you're only going to be the best you. Nobody can be better than you. So that's awesome advice. And it's also really important, too. I noticed that your style of cooking, your sustainability and being so connected with the earth, you just happen to be in a great location for it too, because of the community you're in. So you really resonate with your community, and that's another important factor too. If you're somebody who's really like wants to stick to one kind of concept, make sure wherever you decide to open your restaurant, you mesh well with your community.
Absolutely.
So, great advice. Thank you for sharing that, Justin. The next question I have for you is, what is one restaurant or business book you would recommend to our listeners?
I would say Marco Pierre White. His restaurants in any of his restaurants in London.
Okay.
One of the first super intelligent chefs, very intense, good businessman. He's been around a long time.
Awesome. And what was it about that book that really stood out to you that makes you want to recommend it?
I believe it's White Heat. Just very inspirational. You know, he has that philosophy of having, you know, being a cook is a trade and a journeyman's profession, but obviously produces unbelievable art as well.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that book. The next question we have for you is, could you recommend any gadget, service, or tool that you use in your restaurant that has improved productivity, efficiency, profitability, or communication? These tools could be used in front of house or in back of house.
I think that your cookware and range, if you will, or whatever your style is, wood ovens, circulators, whatever it is, having the best is what drives the restaurant, which makes the best food the most efficient food. Mm-hmm. So I think for me at Earth, it's two things, the wood oven and our amazing jade range.
Awesome. I love it. All right. The next question I have for you is the last question before we wrap everything up. And this is, what is the best restaurant or business advice you have ever received?
That's an interesting one. I have to think about that one.
Take your time. There's no rush.
The best business information.
Or advice that has stuck with you throughout the years.
Well, I would say the best business model for me would be a restaurant like Balthazar in New York City, where they do what they do really well, stick with it. They don't deviate. And I think that goes along with what we talked about before, you know, having the confidence to stick with what you do and not try to move outside of that. And want the most successful business is a restaurant is a restaurant where people come there to be there for you. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be anything else.
Absolutely. I love it. Well, you've been great. You have dropped some serious knowledge bombs on us today. They're going to make us all better and all go towards, making our restaurant dreams unstoppable. So let's wrap it up. At the end of every episode, I give you an opportunity to call someone out. Who is one restaurant professional that you admire and believe would be a great addition to our show here at Restaurant Unstoppable?
So a friend of mine who works in New York, his name is Matt DeLoss, and he's a mentor of mine for most of my career. He was very inspirational for me and a driving force for me to stay with it and work hard. And, you know, he was one of Brad Ogden's sous chefs back in the early 80s. So he's been there and done that. But he's still cooking, and I believe in Saratoga, New York now.
Beautiful. And the name was Matt?
Matt DeLoss.
Matt DeLoss. You hear that, Matt? I'm coming after you. I'm going to do everything I can to get you on the show. So I apologize in advance for being a pain in the butt. You're gonna ask Justin here. He'll tell you I'm pretty persistent. But it's all for a good cause. So all right, give yourself a plug, Justin. How can we connect with you? What are your plans for the future? And where can we find your services?
Well, you know, better food all the time. We've been menu testing now for about a month every day, 8-10 hours a day, just working on stuff, trying stuff 2 or 3, 4 times, plating it a couple, 3, 4 times. So we're really excited about the upcoming menu. Very excited for opening. We are doing an amazing dinner during the Kenny Bunk Food Festival on the Friday, I believe June 6th. We're doing a dinner. We're hosting a dinner with myself, Melissa Kelly, Jody Adams, and Piché Ong at Laud Home Farm. It's going to be quite the event, so don't miss it. It's only 100 seats for that.
Ooh, sounds good. Well, I'll try to make it up there. I know I'm only about an hour drive away, so if you guys are in the area and you want to check it out, you know about it now. No excuses. So thank you again so much. You've been an incredible guest, and I look forward to seeing how your future pans out. I'm sure it's going to be great.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Another great show from another great guest. What really stood out to me in today's episode was Justin's advice to help your employees get to that next level in their career. We're going to come across some employees that have a lot of potential and a lot of skill, and maybe our restaurant isn't the end point for them, and that's fine. Help them get to their end point. And when you do things like this, you're only creating good karma, and that good karma is going to come back in some shape or form to pay you. The other thing I really liked about this episode was Justin's advice to never settle for mediocrity. Always push yourself and always try to grow and get better. And the definition of success to him was mastery of your trade and not to be so arrogant that you stop learning. And that's kind of where I am with this podcast. I am by no means a master of my trade, don't get me wrong, but I do want to continue to push myself and to learn and to be better. And that's why I'm ready to pivot with my podcast and to change the flow and the questions. I feel like I can deliver more value. And that's why I'm asking you guys for your help. Please tell me what you want to hear. What questions do you want the answers to? Reach out to me. I'm glad to help in any way and to mold this podcast into a tool for you. RestaurantUnstoppable.com. That's www.restaurantunstoppable.com. Reach out to me. Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Google+. I'm out there and I'm real easy to find. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, guys. And until next time, peace.